Baptist history each week, and I want to take a couple weeks and look at a man named David George. Very interesting story. David George was born to slave parents in Virginia in 1742. He served under a master with his family there. That master became so severe that he eventually ran away and ran to South Carolina at first, realizing that the master's son was still pursuing him. He offered his services to the Creek Indians, and became a servant of their chief, whose name was Blue Salt. Now, he was over 800 miles away from his former master, and yet he was still being looked for by that son, and so he had to escape from the Creeks, and he fled to the Natchez Indian, and there he lived as a servant to their chief, Jack. But in time, he was captured by an Indian agent that betrayed him, and he was sold on the slave block again, and a Mr. Golphin purchased him. For years, another slave who he lived with there on Golphin's property witnessed to him of Christ. It took about 4 years, but finally, under deep conviction, and these are his words, he said, "Finally, by faith in Christ, I was set free from the slavery of sin." And immediately after he was saved, he began to preach in a way to his fellow slaves, and God called him to preach. He didn't know how to read. He was never taught to read, but with some of his, by his own efforts, and then Mr. Golphin and his children, they taught him how to read the Bible. And so he began to learn how to read by reading the Bible. And it was there that he came to the conclusion that he was to follow Baptist principles and become a Baptist. Of course, this is right before the Revolutionary War. But during the war, he found himself, wherever he was exactly, surrounded or in the midst of the British troops. And I'll read again what he said here, but he said, "When the English were going to evacuate," I guess it was in South Carolina, in Charleston, "they advised me to go to Halifax in Nova Scotia, and they gave us," there were a few black people, and may have been as many as 500 white people, "passage to Halifax for nothing." Upon his arrival, a general there arranged to have George's family, his wife and children, brought up to Canada as well. And he was not able to preach there. He knew God was calling to preach. He was not able to preach in that area. So he moved on to an area called Shelburne, which is about 150 miles away. And there he found a little more relaxed area that would allow him to preach. So he said this. He said, "I began to sing at first in the woods at a camp, for there were no houses then built. They were just clearing and preparing to erect a town." He goes, "People came from far and near. It was so new to them." And he just stood out in the woods and sang until people started to gather, and then he would preach to them. He began preaching, and there was a great response. We had a meeting every evening, and those poor creatures who had never heard the gospel before listened to me very intently. But the white people were in an uproar, he said, and or many of the white people were in an uproar, he said, and that I should not stay there. I ought to accept. He said, I would have left except for one white man who knew me in Savannah, who said I could have a piece of property of his, and I could live there as long as I wanted, and I could even build a house there if I pleased. So, you know, thank the Lord for good people that helped this man along the way. He did that, very industrious. He built a small home. Again, he sent for his family, who were about 150 miles away, and then he started to farm that area so he could live there and preach from that area. They built a kind of a lean-to, in a sense, that people could meet in on Sunday, and regardless of the weather, so they could have, because the winter was coming, and that, of course, is Canada, and can be very severe. People began to respond, as I said. In time, he baptized converts and began the first Baptist church in that area. Now, Baptists were very few in that area, so there wasn't much acceptance of Baptists, not much understanding of Baptists in that area. But the Lord blessed, and people began to be saved. One family, Mr. and Mrs. William Taylor, they were recently moved from London, England. They came to the area, and they joined George's church. They were kind of well off financially, and they were able to assist him And soon the church had grown to over 50 members. Now, one time, and I think about, I'll talk about this in a minute, but he's out knocking on doors in the community, very difficult community, and he led a white family to the Lord, and they wanted to be baptized, but that, of course, caused a great uproar. Now, imagine where we are here. We're 250 years ago, pre-Revolutionary War, during the Revolutionary War in Canada, and that caused a great uproar. And the local militia stopped what was going to be a mob that was going to come and stop that baptism. The baptism service went on without incident. But soon after that, after the service, the mob again became very violent. And they went to the homes of the black folk on George's property. And with block and tackle, they pulled all the houses down. They would have destroyed the church building. But whoever the ringleader was, he stopped that. But David George was beaten and driven away into a swamp. After dark, he came back, got his wife and children, and they fled to another nearby town to start over again. A few months later, he went back to Shelbourne, and he only discovered that his church that had been left standing was now a tavern. And the tavern keeper had boasted, that old preacher wanted to make a heaven of this place, but I'll make a hell of it. And George, not standing for that, went immediately to the authorities and proved that he was the owner of that property and that church, and he got that church back, threw the tavern owner out, and the members began to slowly gather, and that work began to prosper again. And we'll pick this up next week. But I was thinking yesterday as I was studying this, and Pastor Dameron brought a challenge to us a little bit yesterday morning, and I was thinking about the excuses that we come up with not to talk to people about the Lord. And you know, if anybody ever had an excuse, this man, now think of this, pre-Revolutionary War, think of the racial and cultural divides 250 years ago, and a black man knocking on doors in the community, knowing what was going to happen, and yet, I'm sure he said to himself, "These people are white. I'm not going to knock on the door because I know what's going to happen." And yet he did, and he saw people saved. And I think about that. That just makes our excuses pale, doesn't it? It just takes away any excuse we ever thought of. The courage of this man who knew that God had called him to preach, and he was going to talk to anybody, knowing that he could be beaten like he was. Probably figured somebody would kill him at some point. You know, it would have been not unusual on that day. And so I want to thank the Lord for David George and his testimony, his work. And we'll continue his story next week.